Okay, good morning. Thanks for coming out this morning. For anybody who doesn't know, let me just give you a couple quick introductions here. We've got Archbishop Daniel Decline with us this morning. I think the news is out, sitting next to Archbishop Daniel's Bishop Designate, Father Coyne. And then Monsignor Shadle, Vicar General of the Archdiocese, and Mickey Lentz, our Chancellor. So we're glad to have everybody here with us this morning, especially clergy from the Archdiocese that are here with us, members of the administrative staff from the Archdiocese too. Archbishop Daniel has a few words to say, and we'll get things started with that, so thanks.
I want to first of all thank you all for coming on pretty short notice, but as you know, we have some important news we've received for the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. I had a formal letter from the Apostolic Nuncio, Archbishop Pietro Sambi, informing me by letter that Pope Benedict XVI has appointed Father Christopher J. Coyne, a priest from the Archdiocese of Boston, as Auxiliary Bishop of the Archdiocese of Indianapolis, and he received the titular see of Mokta. The Holy See, as you know, made the official announcement earlier this morning. I'm grateful to the Holy Father. I consider this a late Christmas gift. We have a vibrant archdiocese with 151 parishes spread over almost 14,000 square miles in 39 counties in central and southern Indiana. And as you can imagine, that's a lot of territory for one bishop to shepherd. As most of you know, I've had some health issues in recent years, including a bout with Hodgkin's lymphoma in 2008, and that has curtailed some of my activities. Bishop Designate Coyne is a young 52, and I'm 72, looking forward to the energy he will bring to helping us carry out our mission. We haven't had an auxiliary bishop since 1933, when Bishop Elmer Joseph Ritter was consecrated in February of that year. As auxiliary bishop, Bishop Designate Coyne's main duty will be to help me carry out my responsibilities. As auxiliary bishop, he also will become the Vicar General of the Archdiocese. In church language, that means he's the highest ranking official in the Archdiocese after me, and he will be in full jurisdiction of matters that I delegate to him. The bishop designate brings a wealth of experience to our diocese. He's a parish pastor. He's been a professor of liturgy and homiletics. He's also been responsible for communications in the Archdiocese of Boston. He has a doctorate in liturgy from the Sant' Anselmo Liturgical Institute in Rome. He will be ordained here at St. John on March 2nd. You'll receive more details about that in the near future. He'll live at the rectory here at St. John's, and he'll have an office here at St. John's and also at the Catholic Center. We owe Bishop Designate Coyne our gratitude for saying thanks, saying yes to the Holy Father. He leaves behind his mother and dad and five siblings in the Boston area. So I'm sure that has to be a personal sacrifice for him. The one downside I see is that he's been a lifelong Patriots fan. I told him that will fade. He contests that a little bit. In a few minutes, we'll take questions, but now I want to bring Bishop Coyne to the podium.
I was going to wear a hooded sleeveless sweatshirt to the press conference this morning. But the boss said no. May I first offer praise and thanksgiving to God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit for all of his blessings. And may I offer to him thanks for the gift of salvation for us all through his church. I'm humbled by the desire of the church through the Holy Father, Pope Benedict, that I become a bishop. I already participate in the great priesthood, which I share with my brothers here. And to me, that's the greatest job in the church. It's a wonderful job where you can just be there with the people day after day, praying with them, serving with them, working with the men and women on your staff, and just spreading the good news always that Jesus is Lord to the praise and glory of God the Father. I've been a pastor for 4.5 years in suburban Boston, and they've been the best years of my priestly life. And I will certainly miss the wonderful people of St. Margaret Mary's Parish in Westwood. I thank Archbishop Beeklein for this opportunity to assist him here in his ministry as Chief Shepherd of the Archdiocese of Indianapolis. I look forward to working with the clergy, the religious, and the laity of the Archdiocese in furthering the mission of the Roman Catholic Church. While I come with almost 25 years of priestly ministry in many and various roles within the Church, I know that I have a lot to learn. I need to learn names and faces, policies and practices, and histories and stories. I need to buy a GPS. My time in Boston and the challenges that I and my fellow Catholics there have faced over the past few years have, among many things, shown me the importance of relying on the cautions and advice of others and the need to listen to what is being said with an open heart and an open mind. I pledge that to you. I also need to learn how to be a bishop, a good bishop, for the faithful and the clergy of this great archdiocese. I pledge myself today to the service of God's people here in Indianapolis, and I hope over time to become a true son of Indiana. Please know that my prayers are for you, and I ask only the same in return. Thank you.
We'll have some time for questions now, so if you want to just, I'll get out of the way and let you guys go.
I see Bobby's up already on his feet.
Archbishop, would you tell us about the process you went through? Did you request this appointment of an auxiliary?
I did not.
Can you tell us how it came about?
I requested a coadjutor. And I was told it was inopportune. I'm not sure what that meant, but they offered me an auxiliary bishop, which in effect is even better. I think what it means is they weren't ready to choose a successor for me here in Indianapolis. That's the best answer I can give. I'm happy to have Bishop Coyne.
Could you talk about had you all known each other previously, or what was your interaction?
Never heard of him in my life.
You're making me feel real good here.
We met by phone, and we met face to face yesterday. But it's a good feeling. We're getting along fine.
I would ask the auxiliary bishop designate. What is your interaction with Indiana? Have you been here previously?
The question is if I've been to Indiana previously, and I've been up to South Bend to visit colleagues who are on the faculty at Notre Dame, but that's about the extent of it. I've never been to Indianapolis before, but I look forward to learning as best I can, as quickly as I can, about the city, about the people, The one thing that I can say is that just like in Boston, there's a lot of good Catholics here and a lot of good people of all faiths, and I'm looking forward to being with them and working with them.
Mary Ann?
Bishop Designate, have you chosen an Episcopal motto, and if so, can you explain it?
No, I haven't chosen an Episcopal motto yet. I did look to see whether it is what it is in the Bible, but it isn't. I will be praying about it. I'm sure it'll be short and sweet.
Can you elaborate a little bit about how the duties there will be divided up in terms of, and what you all have talked about, how you're going to handle that?
Yesterday afternoon, Bishop Designate Coyne met with members of the administration, central administration, and was briefed on a few things. We didn't want to overwhelm him. Today he will spend the afternoon getting a little bit acquainted with the director here at St. John's. He'll go to Butte Seminary, where he'll meet with Father Beidelman to prepare somewhat for the liturgy of ordination. And then we'll meet some more tonight. It's a learning curve for Bishop Coyne, and it's a learning curve for me. And you'll see that we're making some other appointments, which I'll announce in a little while, that will help separate out who's doing what.
What do you expect of yourself in the weeks and months ahead in terms of what you're going to be able to do?
I hope to be able to continue the providing the leadership that's expected of me, and I certainly will do that. Bishop Coyne will probably do some of the footwork. He'll take some of the confirmations, represent me at some functions. We haven't gotten into detail on that yet, but we'll get to it shortly.
Yes, Sean?
Yeah. Did you learn about your appointment with Bishop Desmond from a phone call from Archbishop Sondland, the Apostolic Nuncio? If so, what was it like to receive that phone call?
It was the Monday before Christmas, so I've known about this for a while. You know, you're in the parish during Christmas, and people are coming up and saying, "Oh, this parish, thank you for being here." And I'm thinking to myself, "Well, it's not going to be very long." So that was kind of a little bit of a heartbreak. It was a Monday morning, and like my brother priest, it was a busy day. I just had a morning mass and celebrated a funeral. I was about to, in a half an hour, go over to the Catholic school and hear confessions. Had a finance council in that evening, planned religious ed in the afternoon, and then I got the call. I looked on the caller ID to make sure this wasn't a joke. It was from Washington. I was stunned. I didn't see it coming at all. And when he said to Indianapolis, I was even more stunned. But he asked me to think about it for a few days and get back to him. But talking to my spiritual director and others, he said, if the church calls you to a ministry and you really can do it, you must do it. And so I was given permission to tell my mom and dad. My mother is not happy. She used to like the Pope. But they're very happy and they're proud, as they are of all of their children. And hopefully they'll both be able to come out for my ordination on March 2nd.
I'll ask Father Coyne, you talked about the challenges in Boston. You were described by the Boston Globe as kind of being the spokesperson or the face of that archdiocese during the priest abuse scandal. What did you learn from that? And there's already criticism from some of the priest abuse victims groups about this appointment. How would you respond to that?
When I was asked to become the spokesperson, along with Donna Morrissey, who was the communications director at the time, because they felt that they needed someone who could talk a little bit more knowingly about the theology and structure of the church. That's pretty much what I was brought in. Then Cardinal Law and I, and then subsequently Archbishop Lennon and now Sean, Cardinal O'Malley, agreed that we would never dissimulate, spin, or do anything, or try in all our hearts to never hurt the families of the victims with anything that we would say publicly regarding this matter. And I tried to hold that. I was never asked to defend the indefensible, and I never did. What I learned from that is the importance of a priest to always strive to holiness, to lift up and to care for those who are most vulnerable in society. One thing that I changed in my priesthood was that in the midst of all that, when little children are brought up to communion, I started to bless them, which I'd never done before. I can't even imagine why I didn't in the past, but I give them a blessing, and it's a reminder to me that the hands of a priest should always be a hand of blessing and never a hand of abuse. I don't know why I've been sent here to Indianapolis. It's certainly out of the ordinary. I mean, Indianapolis has not had an auxiliary in almost 80 years. It's very out of the ordinary for someone from outside of the diocese to be named an auxiliary. I was just given the call, and I responded as best I can. I guess the only thing I can say is that, I want to become a son of Indiana, a son of Indianapolis, and I really will strive my best to become part of this great archdiocese. Yes.
May I ask how God called you to the priesthood, Bishop Desmond?
Well, I grew up in a very Catholic family. There were always priests around our family growing up, and all my brothers and I were all altar servers. When I was in high school, I thought about going in seminary, but a priest said go to college first and get a degree. And after college, I worked for a couple years, and then I was still active in the parish, and had a yearning to enter the priesthood. I think when I first entered the priesthood, I was doing it in a way not just for myself, but also to kind of please my parents. But then as time went on, I came to understand that that wasn't the right reason, and that the real reason was to serve the church and the people of God, and to spread, you know, the message that I really believe is found in the fullness of the Catholic Church. And that's why I became a priest. And I've never regretted the decision, even in the worst of times in Boston. I always felt supported by the people around me, my family and friends and people in the diocese. I still feel that now.
What kind of work did you do before you entered the priesthood?
I was a bartender.
Did you have a specialty?
I was a bartender. He says we're going downhill real fast. We're just getting started. I make pretty good martini.
Any other questions? I don't want to end on a martini.
That would be to you, Bishop.
I didn't hear you.
The fact that Pope John Paul is one step closer to priest, sainthood.
Oh, I'm delighted. I remember at his funeral, the Italian told him to sign Santo Subito. And it's, what now, 5 years? I think it's overdue. But I think it will be great joy in the church when he is beatified. Monsignor Schadel reminded me he'll be in Rome for that beatification in May.
Just as an aside, my mother has a devotion to Pope John Paul II, and I was wondering this morning whether the fact that I was named a bishop could be another miracle as well.
Any other? Before we go, I have a few announcements I'd like to make, and it's kind of awkward because I'll be asking that Part of these will be under embargo till Sunday. As I mentioned earlier, Bishop-designate Cohen will become Vicar General, and that, of course, means Monsignor Schadel's service as Vicar General will come to a conclusion. He's been Vicar General and moderator of the Curia for 17 years. He's been outstanding in his ability and in his willingness to serve. He has generously and without complaint stepped up to serve the people of the Archdiocese when my illness prevented me from doing so. He will receive a well-deserved sabbatical in Rome, after which he'll return and receive a new assignment. He will serve as vicar for religious, as he's been doing in effect these last years. He'll continue to be director of the Archdiocese of Mission Office and the Office of the Propagation of the Faith. I can't thank him enough for his faithful service to me and to the Archdiocese.